Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. High atop the MTS Center ice, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined up here by my colleague, Richard Pollock, where we have just seen the Philadelphia Flyers defeat the Winnipeg Jets by a 3-2 margin. Richard, first of all, the score obviously flatters the Jets to some degree in that it was a 3-1 game up until about 45 seconds to go. You know, at the beginning of this game, we're about 10 minutes into this game when the Jets were relatively controlling the pace of the play.
Yep.
I said to you, the Jets have to score first, otherwise Philadelphia is going to stick into this game. Philly did score first, and from then on, the Jets just didn't seem to have the same life that they had through the first 10 minutes, and it ended up costing them with a loss tonight.
Yeah, lots of problems with this team right now, Drew, and I think you're exactly right. They came out and they played really well at the beginning of the game. They brought it. They were forechecking. They had a lot of energy. And, you know, 5-10 minutes in, and Flyers eventually scored. And then that was kind of it. The tide turned, and I thought the Flyers, for the most part, carried the play. And they deserve to win. I mean, they were the better team on the ice tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the perception of most people is that the Flyers are a better team than the Jets, and they are. But these are not the same loaded Philadelphia Flyers that we saw last year or the year before. They still have a lot of offensive talent, but there's definitely a fair amount of weakness on the back end. Mm-hmm. The Jets really weren't able to take advantage of that at all today. And the Flyers' offense, I mean, without Sean Couturier tonight, mm-hmm. without Scotty Hartnell, who's injured with the bum shoulder. You know, if you're going to beat the Flyers, this is certainly a weakened opponent on the second half of a back-to-back and the third game in four nights.
All valid points. Andre Mezeros, also a big loss in the back end because Bruno Gervais gets elevated to a role where I think he's above his head. But you're exactly right, Drew. The offensive talent is really a testament to their depth in that they've lost all those players. Jágr from last year, mm-hmm. James Van Riemsdyk, and you're on the offensive end. And they still carried the play for the majority of the night. I thought there was some great progression year to year from Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah.
Great progression year to year from Jakub Voracek again. Braden Schenn, worlds better than he was last year. And that's when you get a young base, right? So, you know, people talk a lot about, well, the Flyers don't have much in the way of prospects right now. Yeah, that's fine. But when you have so much young talent that's going to grow to be, you know, great players, really good players, and then you're on solid ground.
Even a guy who they just brought in today, because Sean Couturier was sent home with the flu, Harry Zolnarczyk, a guy that isn't a household name by any means, steps into the lineup and provides an element there. He's dangerous. He had a good breakaway opportunity, a good two-on-one opportunity, and he's just a dangerous guy that they can keep plugging into their roster, whereas if the Jets had to go down to their farm system and plug someone in, they're plugging in a guy who's a fourth liner who's going to play 8 minutes and he's going to, you know, maybe hit a couple bodies, but he's not a dynamic threat.
Oh, true. And I thought he was really forechecking hard. I'll leave the name to you, Drew.
Yeah. Zolnarczyk.
Zolnarczyk. He was forechecking hard, skating hard. And I thought, you know, let's point that out, too. This is a team, the Flyers, who played harder than the Jets. Let's just say it. The Jets get outplayed in terms of overall passion to me. The Flyers, in the second half of a back-to-back, traveling, the only two games they're going to play all year out of their time zone, entire Eastern Conference, isn't Winnipeg. They come, they travel, gain an hour, mind you, but they travel.
Yep.
Tough loss last night to Toronto. Couturier doesn't play. Obviously tired, didn't have a game day skate today. Come out, they're the better team. That can't happen for the Jets. That cannot happen. And once again, things that cannot happen have happened. And I don't know, you know, whose responsibility that is. I think that lies partly with the coaching staff. I think that lies partly with the players on the ice. And I mean, you can apportion that blame however you wish, but there's blame to go around.
You're right. The Jets come, the crowd's into it. This is a Philly game, so the crowd is always into a Philly game, even more so than Thursday night against Toronto, in my opinion. The crowd's into it at the start, for the first 5-10 minutes,
yep.
And the Jets are responding to the crowd. Well, it's not up to the crowd to keep it going for 60 minutes. It's not realistic. The crowd settles in to watch the game, and so do the Jets. So they lose that energy. And they never are able to really recapture it throughout the course of the game. I mean, you know, there's something to be said I know they have their fourth line or their quote-unquote energy line, but the energy line isn't really banging bodies, isn't going out and being like a Daniel Carcillo, who's a wild man on the ice, but he certainly will get people to the edge of their seats. They just seem to be, they're just another line, that they might hit a guy, but more often than not, they don't, and they might be effective, but more often than not, they're not. They don't have that one player. They don't have a pest. And that's, you know, like a guy like Steve Ott that Buffalo acquired. You know, I mentioned Carcillo. Obviously, Scotty Hartnell is a more talented pest, but people would say he's a pest as well.
I would be very surprised, and if I'm a Jets fan, disappointed if Claude Noel rolled out the same lines for Friday's game against a Pittsburgh squad that's far superior to the Winnipeg Jets. And to your point about a pester, I mean, it's an energy level, and it can be a collective energy level from a bunch of players, or it can be an energy level from a particular player. But I don't think you have it in any event.
I agreed. Anthony Peluso, who drew into the lineup tonight in exchange for Chris Thorburn, he played that right side on the fourth line, tried to sort of be that guy in this game. He tried to engage Zach Rinaldo in a fight early in the first period. Rinaldo, who is we've said it on our programs before. Gary Lawless tweeted, he's a rat. He's not a fair. He's not a genuine guy. He's not a guy who abides by the code of the NHL. He refused. Anthony Peluso, first game in the NHL, asked the guy to fight. Asked the guy to drop the gloves. Rinaldo refuses to do so. Peluso ended up with taking a minor penalty. So there's something to be said for Rinaldo being smart. But he doesn't have that code. And Rinaldo's a guy. Minimal ice time, doesn't have a tremendous impact, but you know he's there and he affects the game to a degree that there's nobody really on the Jets who can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe, Drew. And I thought actually Rinaldo played fairly well in terms of skating hard and forechecking, which the team does, the Flyers do well in general. I felt bad for Peluso. He drops the gloves. In my mind, Rinaldo's got to go there because that's what he does. He's a fighter and he would want to be...
Yeah, if he wanted to fight Peluso in that situation, Peluso's honor is, or his duty is to fight Rinaldo.
And I agree. And then we'll talk about the penalty later on. I thought that was a call that could have gone both ways. The intention by Peluso was there to do his job. Now, you can question whether or not you think a guy like that has a place in the league, but he came in to do a job today, and I thought he kind of got the short end of the stick and some bad luck. I hope if they brought him in to play that role, this wasn't the last time, the only chance in the NHL he ever gets, because I thought he had some bad luck tonight.
I would agree with you. Let's get through the scoring summary of this game. The Flyers opened the scoring at the 8:07 mark of the first period. Braden Schenn, he tips it in, assist to Jakub Voracek and Braden Coburn. Voracek, he's on the right side. He's on the sort of the around the circle, the face-off dot on the right-hand side. Whips it across to Braden Schenn. Schenn tips it past Al Montoya. Montoya almost got it the first time, but it ends up in the net, and it's a 1-0 lead for the Flyers.
Good creative play. Voracek's a really good passer, has really good vision. I thought Braden Schenn skated well, was all over the ice tonight. That line in general was probably the best line on the ice. I don't think there's much of a question about that. And they capitalized, and it was only a matter of time. I know it was early in the game, but only a matter of time if you watch the totality of the game that they were going to get at least a goal. Because they were outpacing the Jets, and I mean that by their skating. The pace of their game was just a step ahead. And so the Jets were chasing all night, and the Jets really don't have a shutdown defender, and that really is a problem for them when they play overly talented teams. Now, the Flyers aren't what they once were, but they're still quite talented. Pittsburgh, Boston, you don't have a shutdown line, shutdown pairing when you play Crosby, when you play Malkin, when you play Bergeron, when you play Krejci. It's tough sled.
Yeah, absolutely, it's tough sled. The Jets tied the game at the 14-12 mark of the first period. Andrew Ladd gets his fifth goal of the year, his first of what will be two tonight, with assist to Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler with a beautiful behind-the-back, no-look pass right to Ladd, who's really right in the slot in a prime shooting place. He puts it sort of top corner above Ilya Brizgalov, and it's 1-1 with about 5.5 minutes to go in the first period.
Ladd played well. Ladd got a lot of scoring areas today. Popped obviously a couple. That goal was all Wheeler, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Ladd gets a quick shot off, but Wheeler's pass is gorgeous. Behind the back, no look. Beautiful pass, and Ladd puts it where it needs to go, and Brizgalov wasn't ready for it because it was a behind the back pass, and full credit where credit's due. I thought Ladd was the Jets' best forward tonight.
Yeah, Ladd played a very good game. You mentioned Brizgalov, and he got beat on that shot, but he was very solid in net for the Philadelphia Flyers today. And he's been solid all year. And it's, he gets a lot of grief because of really last year and some of his comments and everything else. He was very solid in net. I liked everything about his rebound control. I thought was terrific. At least three or four times I counted where he'd make a save and he would kick the puck out of play. He would deflect it right out over the glass into the mesh behind him. No second chance opportunities there. The Jets had a number of good scoring chances. Vander Kane with a breakaway. And Ilya Brizgalov stands up tall and makes the saves on.
Yeah. Oh, true, Drew. And I think that the Jets kind of got unlucky in the sense that he got pulled last night. Mm-hmm. Maybe he plays last night the whole game.
They get
maybe,
Brian Boucher.
Maybe. And so they didn't luck out that way. And Brizgalov, I thought, was excellent. In my opinion, he was the first star of the game. He squared the puck. He looked really good. And if I'm Philly, you know, I'm feeling a lot more confident about my game when a player like that is out there getting big money, but earning big money. And we haven't seen him, obviously, really haven't seen Philly play too much this year, but he looked more confident. He looked square to the puck. He would play the puck with the stick. You know, he looked like a different goalie than we saw last year.
If he plays all year like he played today, the Flyers don't even consider amnestying him in the offseason. Like there was some talk before the season started. So, you know, solid goaltending on the Philly end. And like you had mentioned, if he doesn't get pulled last night in Toronto, where really none of the goals were his fault in Toronto last night, if he doesn't get pulled there, it's probably Brian Boucher in that tonight for Philly, and this is a different game because Brian Boucher probably doesn't make as many saves as Brizgalov made tonight.
Agreed.
The Flyers rounded out the scoring in the first period at the 17:08 mark. Kimmo Tiimonen on the power play with a slap shot from the point. Assists go to Claude Giroux and Wayne Simmons. We both thought that Simmons may have tipped it in front. Mm-hmm. Didn't get credit for it as of yet. Clean shot, beats Al Montoya, through a lot of traffic. Yeah. Just, you know, a decent power play, you know, a guy from the point getting the puck on net.
Yeah, but guys going to the net.
Yeah, and
traffic in front, and that's key. And I thought the Flyers, again, they forecheck better than the Jets, and they go to the net a heck of a lot better than the Jets. The Jets have to simplify their power play. Go to the net and just bang and put the puck on net. They don't do that. Flyers did that. And Tiimonen's good at getting that puck through also, an underrated skill for certain players. Tiimonen just a very skillful player in all aspects. He can pass the puck, he can skate, he can shoot the puck. He's not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy, but he might be the smartest guy on the ice, and that serves him well the majority of the time.
Jets were 0-for-3 on the power play. They killed off all but one of Philadelphia's four power play opportunities, so the penalty kill wasn't bad today. The power play left a lot to be desired yet again. It's just struggling to gain possession, struggling to make any semblance of a setup on the power play. Everything is frantic, pull your hair.
No confidence.
Yeah.
No speed through the neutral zone. A lot of problems. A lot of problems creating anything from the back end, which is a problem because Enstrom and Byfuglien are good enough skaters to create speed and get going through the neutral zone and get easy entries into the zone. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's show from 6 to 8. We have a segment now. We focus on a portion of a team's game. Tomorrow we're focusing on the St. Louis Blues, their power play. They get through the neutral zone arguably better than anybody. And that comes from Kevin Shattenkirk, who's a beautiful skater, better skater than either Byfuglien or Enstrom, who aren't bad skaters. But Shattenkirk and Pietrangelo, another better skater than those two. But again, Enstrom and Byfuglien aren't bad skaters. The point is they get into the zone and they get the puck in right away. The Jets can't even get zone entry. And if you can't get zone entry on the power play, that's half the battle.
Sure.
Is getting in there and getting your zone time. And they can't do it. And I don't know if it's a scheme issue. I personally think it's a little bit of a scheme issue. But it's also a discipline issue. It's also a support issue. There's many aspects here. And the Jets just look very disorganized right now. And if I'm a fan, I have a lot of concern about the direction about this team on a day-to-day basis.
Wholeheartedly agree with you there. No scoring in the second period, so after 40 minutes, it's still 2-1. You know, it was a reasonably, you know, the second period mimicked pretty much the whole game. Philly probably outplayed the Jets. The Jets had some scoring opportunities. Evander Kane had at least three or four pretty good scoring opportunities tonight. You can see that the fact that he didn't get any of them into the net, he's fighting it right now. He's a little bit snake bit, but generally, you know, it's always darkest right before dawn. So the way he played tonight would give me some confidence that he's going to break out of this scoreless slump that he's in, and will probably pot one in the next game or two would be my prediction.
Six shots on net. He's got a great shot. He shoots from everywhere. Sometimes the wrong places, but his shot's so good that harmless shots from other people, from those shots from that those areas that would be harmless from other people, are not harmless from him because of the whip he gets on his stick. So yes, I agree with you. I think that it's a matter of time. I mean, he's been very silent. He was more noticeable today. I thought as the game went on, he became more noticeable. Became visibly frustrated, I thought, later on in the game. But that's a sense, you know, that's a matter of pride. And he obviously was unhappy with the way things were going.
4:17 into the third period, the Philadelphia Flyers made it 3-1. Time again gets his third of the year. Great name, Ty McGinn. Gets his third of the year. Assist to Jacob Voracek. Mark Stewart gets caught flat-footed in the neutral zone. Voracek beats him, whips it in front. It looked like it sort of deflected in off of McGinn's skate.
It did.
Wasn't a kicking motion, according to the off-ice officials. I didn't think it was a kicking motion either. Clean goal, 3-1 Philly, and sort of you could sort of, you know, that's the end of it tonight at that point, in my opinion.
Voracek was great tonight, wasn't he?
Skating. First star of tonight's game, Jakub Voracek.
Skating, great passer. Not going to be your 35-goal scorer, but can really bring a lot to the table. And, you know, I guess if Columbus can do that one over again, Voracek and Couturier ended up being Carter.
If you want to know why Columbus Blue Jackets general manager Scotty Housen got fired today, like you just said, Voracek and Couturier. You know, it was obviously Voracek and that first round pick that turned into Couturier for Jeff Carter, and then Jeff Carter for Jack Johnson. He would do things over again if he could.
Yes.
The Jets managed to make it close at the end with 47 seconds to go. Andrew Ladd gets his second of the night. Assist to Evander Kane and Blake Wheeler. Okay, 47 seconds, it was 3-2. And, they won the faceoff with about 10 seconds to go in the Flyers zone. Couldn't get the shot on net. So 3-2 is how it ended. The Jets sort of had a glimmer of hope, a glimpse of life in the last minute or so of the game. But you got to remember, within the last 6 minutes of the game or so, last 10 minutes of the game, Philly takes a penalty at the 9:31 mark of the third period. And then they take another penalty at the 13:06 mark of the third period. If the Jets can capitalize on just one of those two power play opportunities, then this is it's a 3-2 game with 10 minutes to go.
Power play stinks right now. What else do you want to say? It's simple.
Yeah, it is. That's something they're obviously going to have to work on. They have.
Let me ask you this: what aren't they working on right now?
Oh, they should be working on everything. There's nothing about this team is that you would say is clicking at a good pace. Yeah. Worth noting, sorry, I meant to start the third period summary with this. Third period saw Andre Pavlik start in goal for the Winnipeg Jets. Al Montoya supposedly injured himself sometime in the first 40 minutes, lower body injury. Pavlik came into the net, gave up that one goal, but he was fine. Didn't really have very many especially challenging opportunities.
I'm surprised the fans don't have lower body injuries from having no reason to get up for the past five games.
It has been dull in this building. The Jets last year at home were anything but dull for the most part. But you're right. Going back to the last Tuesday game against Florida, which was beyond words awful. Thursday against Toronto, equally dull. Tonight, a little bit more of an energy in the building, but not a ton. The Jets aren't giving him a reason to really cheer.
We'll talk about this on Saturday. And it's very much going to be dictated by how the team plays on Friday, obviously, in terms of the narrative. But tell me why these lines are still together. I just want to know why these lines are still together. You're going to say, oh, Ladd scored twice tonight. First of all, Ladd scored at the end of the game with a pass from Kane. They're not line mates. They're both left wingers. The other goal was Wheeler, nice play to Ladd. But tell me this. Is there any reason at all why Jokinen and Kane should be playing together? And by the way, if they score in the next two games, two out of 15, whatever it's been, 13, whatever the heck it is, it's not successful. So tell me why these lines are still together. And that's what I want to know. So when I turn on the TV as a Jets fan, what I would say this. Why are Kane and Ladd together? Sorry, Kane and Jokinen together. Why are certain lines the same if there's no success? If there's no sustained pressure?
You're right. The only change that we've seen, sizable change we've seen in the lines, is the Jets moving Wheeler off of the right side of the Kane and Jokinen line and putting him back with Ladd and Little. Now, why they're insistent, or why Coach Claude Noel has maintained the Kane and Jokinen combination, I can't answer you. On paper, you never liked it from the get-go because you thought they're both shooters.
From the summer,
when you said it, you said you don't like those two playing together because they're both shooters. Ole Jokinen's not a setup guy.
Nope.
So you have two shooters playing together. They have no chemistry out there.
None.
I mean, there was no evidence of any chemistry whatsoever. So, it's a good question. Why are they still together? And how many more opportunities where they don't succeed until things are switched up?
What game are we today?
Game 12.
All right, so we're a quarter through the season as of tonight.
Yeah.
Give me one reason why this line's still together. We'll leave it at that.
There isn't one. There isn't one whatsoever. Anyways, the Jets end up falling at a 3-2 margin to the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. In terms of ice time, Toby Enstrom led the Winnipeg Jets with 25:52 of ice time. His partner, Dustin Byfuglien, had 24 minutes and 24 seconds. Brian Little led all four, or pardon me, Evander Kane led all forwards with 24 minutes and 20 seconds of ice time. I like to see that, Evander Kane at least getting more than the 18 minutes he had been getting. And he did have some scoring chances, so hopefully that, including shorthand time, and he's been good on the penalty kill in the last number of games. Anyways, we'll have to see how the Jets bounce back from that. They're next in action Friday night here at MTS Center, a 6 p.m. puck drop when Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and the Pittsburgh Penguins come back to town after Friday night, Sunday game, 5 o'clock against the Boston Bruins. Tomorrow night on TSN 1290, 6 p.m., NHL midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will take the air. And, of course, Saturday, 12 noon till 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the regular Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on TSN 1290. We thank you for listening to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website, because you've downloaded this podcast from it, is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock, I'm Drew Mindell from high atop the MTS Center. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast.